Thank you for the opportunity to speak at the First Dem Conference, the 2022, the Community Channel. My name is Khaled Kibet. I'm a bioinformatician based at TCPE from Nairobi, Kenya. And as you can see, my background is my city, the beautiful city of Nairobi, the city under the green city under the sun. So I wear a few hats, and one of them is as a bioinformatician, an open science advocate, a lecturer, and also sitting a few boards on open data and open bioinformatics foundation. Formerly I was a Mozilla fellow, and one other thing is that I'm a hiker and a trail mapper, and I'll be at some point using this concept of trail mapping to highlight some of the lessons that I've learned along the way. So, but I'll just start, given the audience being quite focused on open source, on what open science is. And open science here is the practice of science in such a way that others can collaborate and contribute. And here the focus is on research data and lab notes. And all those products are freely available, and there is the need for the terms that enable reuse, redistribution, and reproduction of the research and its underlying data and methods. And here I'm highlighting code, which is freely available. But that's not always the reality, especially when you are dealing with research software. So many a times this is the scenario. How can I use your software? Sure. Just grab it from GitHub, GitLab, and any other Bitbucket or any other open source platform that you use. But when it comes to closed source, there's always, hey, can I use your software? There's always that barrier to the access web help. Someone needs to look at my messy code. And really, this is more or less the reality when it comes to the research communities. And I will be highlighting some of these barriers and specific challenges that we face within the scientific community or the research community. So open science is really wide, and that include open source and a number of other tools when it comes to open notebooks, crowdfunding, open innovation, and so forth. And all these would be, when I refer to open science, many a times I would be capturing a number of them, but not all of these considerations. So the key premise of this presentation, and especially my work, is allowing the need to work with your collaborators. And here the concept here is that what I came to notice, especially when I came back to from South Africa back to Kenya to be involved in teaching and research, I realized that in as much as I was empowered and I had the tools that I could use to practice open science, my collaborators and students did not. And so you can't be an efficient scientist or researcher until you and your collaborators are aware and equipped with open science tools. This is the premise of my work. And I will just start by highlighting a little bit about the Global South, and specifically Kenya and Africa as a whole, and the challenges and barriers that we face here. So when it comes to open science and specifically open access, we see that increased adoption of open access publishing practices. And you can note that this is driven by, is generally driven by, one, the publishers and the funders and the various policies that are already in place that make it attractive to publish open access. Although we are not yet there, but I believe this is one area that there's been a great growth when it comes to open science. But there are some newer technologies and adoptions, like now publishing using the preprint servers, which is something I think physics and mostly the software community have done quite a lot, the archive as much. But when it comes to Kenya and Africa as a whole, you'd see that the adoption of, especially within the biological community, the adoption of the pre-printing is really low. And the question here is, why is that the case? What is creating these barriers? Look at things like open data, sharing data openly, and that this cuts across from research data to government data and so forth. You notice also that Africa is lagging behind when it comes to sharing of data openly. Based on this 2016 barometer, the changes could be, the reality could be different now, but there's still really a major, Africa is really still lagging behind. And I want to highlight here is that when it comes to things like data sharing, it's not just about uploading the data. There's a whole lot of investment that comes into place. And so for researchers, especially those with limited funding, investing in data management infrastructure is a luxury, because the cost of preparing data and archiving is prohibitive. And so researchers would focus on things that drive their promotion and their careers rather than things that are costly and they do not see immediate benefits. When it comes to open source, on the other hand, which is something that you could notice that it's of greater benefit, especially for researchers and participants from resource-constrained settings, to utilize the open source. But you'll still notice that majority is still using, especially in government and so forth, they're still using proprietary software. They're still widely used. And the question here is, why do we have low contribution and adoption of open source from Africa? Why is that the case? And there's just one thought here as well. The issues like voluntarism feature in developed world, where developers are not money constrained, it does not apply to Africa, since developers are not financially independent. If you look at the pay in most of our institutions, it's much lower, and the workload is really high, which means that it's really difficult for most to separate their own time from the employer's time. And so they may not have the time to commit to that. And so any of the advocacies and approaches would have to think about those concepts. So if you look at the key challenges, and just highlighting just a few here, the lack of awareness and training, lack of supporting infrastructure, historical marginalization and barriers, the power imbalances in the open source community, and of course the more pressing needs like money. And when it comes to the various advocacies, you realize that they are still as fragmented as Africa is. And I would want to say Africa is all 59 countries covering a huge, huge population and huge land mass. And so there's still even barriers from crossing to Kenya all the way to South Africa, and just across Africa, it's really difficult to do that. So what are we doing? And here I'm talking about myself and the community that I am part of, and some of the initiatives that we are involved in. I just want to highlight here that we must consider the context, understand the specific needs, and design interventions that are owned and driven locally. It's really important to localize intervention, localize advocacy, localize the work that we do in the specific communities. We have to understand the specific needs that they have, the culture, the barriers that exist, and be able to tailor our interventions specifically. And here, in collaboration with the Bioinformatics Hub of Kenya community and the Open Science Kenya community that I lead, and both are targeting open science practitioners within the bioinformatics community and bioinformaticians to build the bioinformatics capacity in Kenya and Africa as a whole. And here we came together within the project, the Umbrella of Empowering Researchers with Skills and Tools in Open Science and Bioinformatics. And we are using the model, the Open Science KE model, which captures 3-5 aspects: the sensitization, training, hacking, collaborating, and community. And I will just go through a few of these as we through this presentation. So when it comes to sensitizing, you may want to notice that many may not even be aware of the tools that they can utilize to make their life easy, to contribute, to grow as researchers. And therefore, the first stage is the awareness and being able to showcase the benefits to them. And that's where now we had these Open Science Fair symposiums and Open Science Fair seminars. And these are targeted at taking them from getting to understand what open science is to starting to understand how to contribute to open source. Okay. And then the next phase is, in addition to just sensitizing, making them aware, is now equipping them, empowering them with the tools, empowering them with the skills that would enable them to now go into their communities, to now go and practice, right? So that's the second phase. And there we train on those tools, like from Linux tools all the way to now practicing, contributing using version control all the way to publishing their open source tools in various resources. And then there's the hack now, having gained the skills, having gained the tools, then how can we assist them to practice what they have learned? And here now we organize hackathons and sprints and enable them to contribute to the open science tools. And here now we had a series of hackathons, and this enabled the researchers to actually generate output. And this is now the open science in action, making it practical for the community. And within that environment, we get to build a collaborative environment, and which is now the aspect of collaborate, and not just collaborating in generating research software or generating software or generating open source resources. And that includes things like documentation and so forth. We also collaborate in writing, collaborative writing, here using the various collaborative tools that we had trained them on. And here I just want to highlight just a testimonial from one of the participants who said that, "I can't overstate what the Git and GitHub training has done for me. So it kind of changed my life. It has made everything seem so easy." And that really is now a PhD student practicing open science and really being a great contributor to research and a collaborator across Africa. With some of the team members also, we participated in the eLife sprint and converted one of the products of the hackathon, which was the low-cost open access publishing into AlphaDaBe, which here we are trying to ease the process in which the students and the resource those who are resource constrained can still adopt some of these practices. And here, where can they publish open access at a low cost to ensure that the feasibility of their research? And here there's always one concept here that it's not really true that there's little research coming out of Africa, but the reality is that there's low feasibility of the research and the work that is being done in Africa. And this is something that needs to change as we move forward, especially allowing them to publish in those reputable journals. And so we've been working and collaborating and building a community of open science key, and we have seen a great growth. And those who participate in this community have gone ahead to be change makers in their communities, and I've noticed that targeting the students and working with them, they are actually the powerful key changers in the community. They are able to go and create change in their respective communities. So what can you do? I'd like to propose a few aspects here, and this some of the reflections that I've had over time and also gained from some of the amazing open leadership communities, the Mozilla Open Leadership, the Open Science, the Open Life Sciences, and so forth, that are leading in creating, changing the culture within the various communities, and ensuring that we can onboard the newer, we can onboard those who are starting off, we can include the diverse communities and those who are not currently being represented. And so this importance to be open by design and not by default. And here it's just the concept of being intentional about being inclusive, intentional about being open, intentional about the work that we are doing, and the aspect of being inclusive, and not just being inclusive but also being supportive, not just bringing them to the table but rather creating an environment in which they feel part of the table, they own the table, they co-created the table, and that way they can have a greater confidence in contributing and participating in that. So barriers do exist, and challenges, they do exist. But really the reality is that we can all reap the benefits of open source if we work together and support each other and ensure that no one is left behind, that all communities and different perspectives and viewpoints are included in the work that we do. So the other aspect is just be an ally, create a pathway. And when it comes to hiking, sometimes we hike trails that do not have, we go to the mountains, there are no trails there. It's really, really important that you leave a trail for others to follow, keeping in mind that they may not have an ability to create a path toward the mountain. And so show them the mountain, that's really beautiful, but also create a pathway for them to be able to join you in walking towards the mountain. And really finally, having done all this, it's really important to change the system that excluded them in the first place. So if we include them, the underrepresented, in our spaces without changing the system that has created that exclusion in the first place, then we are not really making progress. So those are some of the things that I want to highlight. And just all we ask is that please leave no one behind. It's important that we all participate. There's great contributions that we can all make in this journey. So as part of these communities, we have our Informatics Open Science Conference that's coming up in April 2022. And we are looking forward to those who are interested in just coming to either give a keynote speech or participate in the conference and just hear the work that we've been doing within our communities. You're more than welcome to join us. So I just want to acknowledge the various founders and collaborators within this space. And I want to say thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for the time to participate in this great conversation, this great conference. So, asante sana na kwaheri.